John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Stories that make you go, this is not a hmm. This is beyond a WTF. I don't know that there's quite words for the Cider case, the 16 kids, and the horror mutants that were raising them. Other than, it's like The Hills Have Eyes have come alive. And I want to say this before we get into this conversation. This is not an isolated incident. Not with these people, not with society in general. If you think the Ciders are a one-off or way off, I challenge you to go through specific neighborhoods or specific areas or specific cities or almost any city in the United States. And I would venture to guess you're going to find these folks in their hives of horror everywhere you want to be or don't want to be. And because of that not wanting to be, it's that we don't talk about it. We don't share. We don't say anything. We let live and we let, you know, just live and let live. What could go wrong? It's their rights. It's their bull effing shit. Well, they want to live in squalor. They don't have money to do this. Yeah, money. You don't take money to not live in squalor. In fact, it'd be actually the opposite. You could live very frugal and very, very poor and not live in these types of conditions. I've been very, very poor before. Maybe many of you have as well. And you know, money ain't the freaking answer to this question. It ain't a question of money. It's a question of what do we accept in a society and what do we push off to the edges and pretend is not existing until you get this shit show. Let's get into this. And your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We're going to be talking about this case, I can imagine, for quite some time. The only reason anybody found those children is because Gary Ciders Jr. reportedly couldn't stop exposing himself to his neighbors. You know, I hate when that urge comes up and you're just like, hey, neighbor, you barbecuing over there? Oh, why don't you got any pants on? Oh, you don't have that problem either? Four times in May, May 23rd, May 27th, May 29th, and May 31st, four misdemeanor counts of indecent exposure. And this is just a misdemeanor. You can show your junk to the neighbors, and it's just like slap on the wrist, living in squalor with 16 kids, and you're showing it to the neighbors. But who are we to judge, right? Who are we not? Who are we as a society to be like, we don't judge? We live and let live. We need to do a little less of that. That's what generated the warrant. That's what brought Vinton County deputies to 182 Omer Street in Hamden, Ohio on June 30th. Not a CPS referral, not a concerned teacher, not a pediatrician who noticed something off. A misdemeanor warrant.
Deputies showed up expecting to arrest one man on a low-level charge. They did not expect to find 16 children inside, or so they say. We didn't expect this. 16 children, ages 18 months to 18 years, boys and girls. Investigators say they were living in 12 by 12 foot room contaminated with human waste and insects. If you've seen the pictures, you're like, oh my God. Some of them couldn't speak. Some couldn't read. An 18-year-old couldn't write her own name. Ohio Attorney General Andy Wilson said they looked almost feral. Vinton County Sheriff Ryan Kane said livestock is kept in better conditions. Wilson called what he saw pure evil. He said if investigators had waited another 24 hours, there was a high probability they'd be dealing with multiple deaths. Would they? Because they've been going on this long. Was there a high probability, or did you finally, you know, shit came to roost? And every single one of those children was born at an area hospital. Everyone. Keep that in mind, because it matters later. One more thing. The attorney general used a specific word to describe what happened in that house, a word that carries implications far beyond neglect. Intrafamilial. Remember it. Seven of the children were taken to hospitals in Columbus. Two were airlifted. One was in critical condition. 20 people, four adults, and 16 children in a five-room, one-bedroom house with 1,336 square feet and a 518-square-foot basement. The house sits on Omer Street next to railroad tracks in a village of about 700 people. Neighbors say they never saw a single child. A man who lives three doors down said he'd been there 6 years and seen no kids at all. The four adults charged are Gary Siders Jr. He's 73. His wife, Christina Siders, 67. Their son, Gary Siders Jr., 36. And his wife, Elizabeth Siders, 33. Each faces 16 counts of second-degree felony child endangerment. All four pled not guilty. All four are lucky that the officers who arrested had self-restraint, because this is why I could never be an officer, because that pistol that you carry, I might have used it. I might have used it on all four of these fucks. Prosecutors say each of the 16 children suffered serious physical harm. Additional charges are expected. The case is heading to a grand jury with three special prosecutors, including the attorney general himself. Somebody in that house was functional. The property taxes were paid. The water, sewer, the trash services were in Christina Siders' name. The house had running water. Multiple air conditioners sat in the windows. Gary Siders Jr. and Elizabeth reportedly shopped at the local Dollar General near closing time several nights a week. The store employee described poor hygiene and disheveled clothing, but they were regular customers. Gary Jr. reportedly worked as a DoorDash delivery driver. He had a phone. He had a car. He picked up orders, made deliveries, interacted with the public. Then he went home to 16 children living in conditions the attorney general compared to the third world. I would say the third world is the Ritz, Carlton, Diamond Collection compared to this place. What investigators found in that house was not a result of total incapacity. It wasn't. Prosecutors say it was a result of choices. Somebody was choosing which rooms the children occupied and which rooms they didn't. Every system that was supposed to catch it or either missed it, weren't looking, or have been stripped of the tools to look. Stripped of, and I think there's a lot of ways we could look at that. The actual legal ability and the moral failure of looking the other way when people are in need. An 18-year-old who can't write her own name, sit with that for just a second. 18 years of life and nobody ever put a pencil in her hand. Nobody ever asked her to sign anything. Nobody ever saw her try. That's what happens when a child is invisible to every institution that exists to protect her. None of the 16 children were enrolled in any school in Vinton County. The local school district has no record of them attending or receiving at-home education. A state senator who represents the county said calling these children homeschooled is a stretch at best. I'd call it a total blatant lie and a totally false narrative. Investigators say some of the children received no education of any kind. Teachers are mandatory reporters. If any of these children had set foot in a classroom, a trained trained adult would have been legally required to flag concerns. That's the safety net working as designed. But in 2023, Ohio's General Assembly gutted its homeschool oversight requirements. Before the changes, parents had to prove to the district what they were teaching and demonstrate they were qualified to teach it. After the changes, all a parent had to do was say the words, "I am teaching." Or you grumble it or mumble it or not say anything at all. And the state's like, "You're good." State Senator Lewis Blessing, who voted for those changes, now says they might need to be revisited. Oh, you think? You think?
There's got to be more oversight to this, he said. A senator who helped dismantle the oversight now agrees the lack of oversight is a problem. It's not a policy disagreement. That's an admission. An admission, Senator, that maybe you should go spend a week or a year in that house living like those children. Let's see how it works out for you. Choices have consequences. The hospitals, remember, every single one of those 16 children was born at area hospitals, not at home, not off the grid. The hospitals, remember, every single one of those 16 children was born at area hospitals, not at home, not off the grid, in hospitals with doctors and nurses and intake forms and billing departments over the course of roughly 18 years. Elizabeth Siders showed up in labor approximately once every 13 to 14 months. A woman with no prenatal care records, no pediatrician on file for any prior child, no medical history beyond arriving, ready to deliver. In 2022, she delivered conjoined twins. Bailey Lee Siders and Faith Lee Siders, born at Riverside Methodist Hospital in Columbus at 24 weeks. Conjoined, fused at the chest and abdomen. They died within an hour. Cause of death, extreme prematurity. Born and died on the same day. They aren't referenced in the criminal complaints. A delivery like that involves a NICU team, specialists, extensive medical documentation. And it wasn't the first pregnancy at that hospital. It wasn't the fifth. It wasn't the 10th. Somewhere in the ballpark of 16 deliveries over 18 years, and no medical professional asked a follow-up question. No nurse noticed a pattern, a woman arriving in labor with no records, no prior care, again and again, year after year. Hospitals are mandated reporters in Ohio. That pattern, if anyone had been tracking it across facilities, should have raised questions long before anyone served a warrant on Omer Street. The mechanism that made it all disappear was simple. The family moved. Investigators say the Siders family lived on multiple Ohio counties since 2008 and may have spent time in Wisconsin. They reportedly avoided establishing medical or government records. Every county they left behind was a set of eyes they escaped. Every new county was a fresh start with no file, no flag, no history. Ohio's child welfare structure runs through the counties. Funding and oversight are at a state level. Service delivery at a county level. Every move reset the clock. New jurisdiction, no handoff, no continuity. The Ohio Department of Children and Youth has started reviewing reports involving the family under its near fatality protocol. The public still doesn't know whether prior CPS reports were filed in any county along the way. Elizabeth's brother posted on social media suggesting the state knows something about the welfare the family may have been receiving. If the family collected benefits for 16 children, somebody in state government had documentation that those children existed. They had names, they had ages, they had numbers, and nobody checked on them. Nobody knocked on the door. And I'm sure nobody wants to be accountable now. Watch that space. Watch cover up. Watch people who don't want to be responsible for the system that does not work. Elizabeth Siders is charged alongside the other three mutants. Let's not even call them adults. This is Hills Have Eyes to the nth degree. But her backstory raises a question prosecutors and the public will have to wrestle with. She reportedly married Gary Siders Jr. on March 31st of 2008 at the Mason County Courthouse in West Virginia. She was 15. He was 18. She was 7 months pregnant. Her parents consented. A circuit court judge signed the license. West Virginia had no minimum marriage age at the time. None! I know, these are things you're like, well, that can't happen in America. You want to bet? You want to bet.
And that's the thing with a case like this. It's
shocking to many who've never left the bubble of America that they inhabit.
And I'm not saying it's your, you know, anybody's fault if you've never seen conditions like this. But if you're in a place in America, and maybe you are in a place in America where you can drive through part of your town and go, I bet this shit's going on everywhere. Because it is. But there are areas where you insulated. You don't see this. You're like, I doubt that.
Take a little trip to the south. Take a little trip to the north. Take a little trip to the east, to the west, to the middle, to any impoverished area where there's lack of education, lack of oversight, lack of funding, and lack of give a shit.
There will be a mutant mutiny at some point if this isn't stopped. But this stuff goes on everywhere. I am telling you, this is not an isolated incident. We look the other way. It's icky to talk about. It's icky to think about. Sometimes it's damn near impossible to even get stories like this to track. Because the platforms, that makes people feel uncomfortable. We don't want them to see that. And so it gets throttled. And people don't like to accept that this is the reality of a good chunk of our country. And that rules and laws like this exist or don't exist. And people are living in their own manufactured realities of madness. A 15-year-old could be legally married to an adult with parental permission and a judge's signature. That judge had the authority to stop it, even though the law didn't require a formal investigation. A West Virginia family law attorney told reporters she would have wanted a guardian ad litem appointed to the bride, separated from the adult partner for questioning, before approving anything. None of that happened. Nobody asked. A pregnant 15-year-old walked into a courthouse and walked out married to the man who got her pregnant. Elizabeth's education reportedly stopped at the eighth grade. Gary Jr. stopped at the ninth. West Virginia didn't tighten its marriage law until 2023. And even then, it only raised the minimum to 16. Go take a trip out there. See what I mean? Her brother says she was indoctrinated. He says he hadn't seen her in 15 years before the arrest. He says she was estranged from her entire family. Her attorney says she considered herself a full-time mother. And then when he met her in jail, her first question wasn't about getting out. It was about her children. Attorney Tamara Holder was blunt about it. She called this just another example of women and children being neglected by the states and agencies that are responsible for protecting them. She said Elizabeth Siders never had a choice of her own forensic nurse. Rachel Fisher said cases like this sometimes involve and overlap a person who can be held responsible for harm to children while also having their own history of coercion, isolation, and control. And hey, and a system that enables it, allows for it, and judges that sign the orders. The system that was supposed to protect Elizabeth as a child is the same system that failed to protect her children for 18 years afterward. The court that approved her marriage, the school that lost track of her, the state that let a pregnant 15-year-old disappear into a household. The cycle isn't incidental to this case. The cycle is the case. One generation handed over by a judge's signature. The next generation locked in a 12 by 12 room. Now remember the word. Intrafamilial? Wilson's full description was prolonged and extreme intrafamilial harm. Prosecutor Tommy Pope said that term is unusual and appears to allude to inappropriate relationships within the family, potentially involving Gary Siders Sr., you think? Former FBI agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, as we all know and love from our program, said investigators will need to conduct full DNA testing on the children, particularly the other females of childbearing age. The scope of what happened in that house may extend far beyond neglect. 68 felony counts on the books may be just the beginning. The cost of what comes next is already breaking the county that has to prosecute it. Vinton County is Ohio's smallest county and one of its poorest. 415 square miles of Appalachian terrain with one traffic light and a single grocery store. And we pretend, oh, isn't that nice? They're hill people. They're mountain people. We let them be. Maybe we should stop doing that. Gary Sider Sr., 73 years old and facing 16 felony counts, was released from jail after the county determined his medical care could potentially bankrupt it. He fell while being transported, was hospitalized, and more serious condition was discovered. The judge ordered his GPS monitor paid for by the state's expense. A man facing 16 counts of child endangerment is out of custody because a county in America cannot afford to keep him locked up. A bullet could keep him in the ground, just saying. The state is investigating $1 million in emergency funds just to help Vinton County handle the aftermath of a case its own system helped create. The case is already being compared to the Turpin family in California. I'm sure you've heard it. And in many ways, the comparison fits. But in at least one respect, this may be worse. The Turpin children were nominally enrolled in a private family school. There was at least a paper trail. However thin, the Siders children had nothing. No school, no doctor, no social worker, no record. They existed anywhere beyond hospital birth certificates that nobody followed up on. 18 years. 16 surviving children, conjoined twins who died in a Columbus hospital, and the only reason anyone ever looked inside that house was a misdemeanor warrant for a man who couldn't keep his junk out of the neighbor's eyes. Every system designed to protect children in this country, marriage law, child welfare, mandatory education, medical mandated reporting, welfare oversight, failed every one of those 16 children for the entirety of their lives. The question is not how this happened. The question is how many houses like this one are out there right now where nobody has served a warrant yet? And I'm telling you, there are thousands. And we have no system in place to deal with it until it's too late. Only in America. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Yeah, the Siders, 16 kids, the horror story that is. We're going to do a psychological breakdown of this today. If you've been wondering, how does this happen? How does one's mind function to allow this to actually play out the way that it appears to have been playing out? That's what we're doing today. Four adults kept 16 children in a 12 by 12 room for years while paying property taxes, some holding jobs, shopping at the Dollar General. It wasn't all chaos. It was somewhat maintained. Psychotherapist Siobhan Scott is with us to help break down the psychology of a household that functioned somewhat in public and allegedly ran something of an unspeakable horror house in private, including the question at the center of this case. Elizabeth Siders was married at 15 while 7 months pregnant and 18 years old, her husband. She's a defendant. What happened in her mind in between might explain a lot. We have a lot to get into today. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through it. We're going to start with the mind that builds this room. And Gary Jr., he delivered DoorDash orders all day. He's, from what we understand, the father of some of the kids, all of the kids, we don't know. And then he went home to 16 children in a room covered in feces. Two completely separate realities. He's dropping off your Taco Bell, and then he's back in the horror house with the 16 children and feces every way. Oh, I don't think that that was bean burritos from Taco Bell. Wait a second.
Oh, it makes a second guess DoorDash.
Well, maybe it explains the crypto spluridium outbreak that's going on right now as well. What does it take psychologically, Siobhan, to live in two worlds like this? Because he presents himself one way at the Dollar General, at the dropping off your Taco Bell, and then going home to this. It seems one would think, well, you couldn't possibly have two such stark realities going on at the same time, but apparently you can, Siobhan.
Apparently, it doesn't take a lot to function delivering DoorDash, right? Because I can't imagine this guy was terribly sophisticated in his presentation anywhere. But the first three things that popped into my head when I just took a glance at this horrible story, and it didn't take long. Number one, cognitive impairment. There's something wrong intellectually with these folks. Is it dementia? Is it just low IQ? You know, there's something off. Then throw in some mental illness into the blender, and we don't know enough to know. Is there some schizophrenia? Is there another major disorder of some kind? And then throw in abuse and blend it all up. And this is the kind of family you get. And unfortunately, I think they may not have 16 or 18 kids living in their homes, but I think there are a lot of families out there who are living in similar conditions.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind when I started absorbing this story is, I mean, it's getting the headlines because it's 16 kids. So it's like, wow, that's the big wow draw. But my initial reaction was, just go drive around any city in the United States, even small towns, especially in very impoverished areas. And you may not have 16 kids. You may have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. In very similar conditions, directly in front of us every damn day. And if anybody's pretending that this isn't going on everywhere, you're not aware. You're not awake. You're not paying attention. My reaction was, this is not rare. This is just one that's being exposed because it has a big number in front of it.
Exactly. 100% right there with you. I worked with a case many years ago in California that had some similarities, but it was only two kids. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It did not hit the news in any kind of a big way. But, and I can't remember who turned the family in, but somehow CPS had gone out there and found these horrendous, filthy living conditions with dirty diapers just piled up, soiled animal feces throughout this home. And the children were toddlers. And so fortunately, they were rescued out of that. They didn't live in it for years and years. But one of my roles was to try to determine, are these people capable of parenting again? Mm-hmm. And I did not believe that they were. But that was what was going on in that case. You had some mental illness. You had people who were not terribly bright in the first place. There was some abuse going on. The wife was being abused by the husband. But the really scary thing, what kind of work did they both do? Fast food. They both worked. I won't say which I remember the chain. I've never eaten there since. But yeah, to function at home on such a low level and then go out. And I think one of them was the manager or assistant manager of the food place.
Oh, God.
And to apparently show up at work and manage people and produce food that other people bought. It's scary how much we don't really know.
The was so striking on this case. There's so many things that are so striking on this case, but the potential and most likely generational, not just trauma, but generational stupidness and all the other cascading over the years and years and years. So if that's correct, Siobhan, in this case, how do you start breaking down that generational stupid? I mean, it's called generational stupidity yesterday. I don't really have a term for how abhorrent all these behaviors are, but it's so normalized for them that it's just their normal behavior. Learns, or is it a product of the mental illness? Is it a combination of everything? And then how do you break it?
Combination of everything. And, you know, there are just people that are not fixable, sadly. And if you have somebody that's grown up in a home like this, and particularly multi-generations of this kind of behavior, there may not be a lot you can do for them, but you want to get the kids out of it. And the sooner you get the kids out, the better, because the brain is fortunately malleable, particularly, you know, with young people. And you've just got to get them in an entirely different environment and teach them what normal is and help them develop all the different, you know, abilities and skills that they've just been deprived of.
How much, I'm going to follow up one more, because Tony and I were talking about this yesterday with this case. You know, we're doing the best we can to solve all the problems of the world yesterday and when we covered cases like this. And I know I've had very close people in my own life that were able to, I wouldn't say save themselves, because I don't think anyone goes in kind of save yourself mode. They just have an experience that saves them because of a good, rich, healthy experience. And it didn't take much. It took a summer camp and going to a summer camp with good exposure, good, healthy people that they could recognize a yin from the yang. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't know the horrors we're in unless we have context. And like the poor children here don't have context, mm-hmm. except this is the only lifestyle they know. That's why some of the descriptions coming out are so horrendous. So going to that, how much does it take? What does it take to give, and what kind of exposure and at what ages do you think it would take to kind of infiltrate a sect of our society that is impoverished? There's the, because we were talking about it yesterday too, you know, that when the tax base in this local area or even a state doesn't support any services, what can you do? Does it, something like a camp, can it make a difference? Does it, is it a volunteer? Because again, the child welfare system and a lot of is overwhelmed. Even though you have great people, you have people in there taking advantage, you know, from the welfare state, being able to, you know, make money off of having more kids. I mean, it's so twisted. Long narrative question to what is it? What can you do at that lower grassroots level?
Well, I think your point is well taken about just even any kind of corrective experience like a summer camp can do some good for a child and can help them gain a perspective that there is another lifestyle out there. There's another way to be in the world. But for kids who are this deprived, who have, some of them don't even know how to communicate normally, apparently they don't have speech. This is going to be a tough road, and they're going to really need to be in a permanent, safe environment with normal people who can model for them everything that they've missed growing up developmentally. They need lots of support, ideally some therapy, you know, that would probably go on for a long time. And really, you're looking at trying to, the rest of their lives, undo these early years. And everybody's going to go through that differently. Of course, there's no formula, but they need a lot.
There's a lot.
And we're talking about people that are not fixable. I mean, this is an interesting, because you have your grandparents in their 70s in the house, their son, his wife, and then 16 children. And we look at the wife, who everybody is looking at, the mother who birthed all of these kids, from what we understand. And again, a lot of these details have yet to be officially confirmed, I should state, by authorities. So allegedly in front of everything we're talking about. When you have this kind of just generational stupidity and ignorance that's going on, and you mix it all together, I'm looking at the wife, at the mom, who was 15, I believe, when she had the first kid. She was seven, so she would have been 14 likely when she got pregnant.
And even reportedly, 13 when she had her first pregnancy. Again, allegedly.
Oh, well, there's,
like, it gets, yeah, it's
worse. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, wait, there's more.
That's our but wait, there's more moment. So you have that. And people who don't know anything different. How different is she from the children at this point? Because she was a child. She's younger than half of the kids in the, she was younger than half the kids in the house.
Yeah.
When this began with her. So, I mean, as much as, you know, she is an adult and at some, there is autonomy there to a certain extent, but at some point, if you are screwed with your genetics and you have a low IQ and you have low cognitive functioning abilities, you have, who knows? I mean, God knows what the laundry list is of issues here that prevented her from doing the right thing. How much do we need to be looking at at some of these people or one of these people or any of these people, the adults in the room who are being charged as being victims of the circumstance, or do we not at this point with them being adults? And she's managed now at this point to produce 16 people at some point. You've had a few reps in the world as an adult. It's horrible what happened to you, but you do have some responsibility at some point.
I very much see her. I'm in the camp of seeing her as a victim. Yes, she was impregnated by someone at 13. We don't know who that was, but apparently was taken in by the Sider family and partnered with Gary, the younger Gary, and then began having his babies. And her parents signed off for her to marry at 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a daughter that age yourself. Can you ever imagine your child is pregnant and here's another family that wants to take her in and she's going to get married now? And, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about this. So we just go along with it. I mean, there's a lot of adult behavior to be dissected and analyzed here. But I think if you were doing an evaluation with her, you would probably find someone with very severe trauma responses going on.
We
don't know what kind of violence. I would be surprised if she has not been subjected to violence.
Sure.
It's my guess that's been a part of it.
Part of my cold conjecture on that as well is, you know, do some DNA testing and really, were all those children her choice?
Right.
Yeah. Were all those children Gary Jr.'s is my question.
Right.
The potential for, I don't even want to say the words because again,
yeah, the words that
guilty,
YouTube doesn't like. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But trafficking and everything else, that the potential in here. And again, you know, I really just severely hope the investigators are doing a lot of due diligence as not just this one really, really messed up family dynamic, if you can call it a family, but one cabal of people, is there tendrils? You know, what, you know, because the probability of this being a really isolated event, to your point earlier when you kicked this off, Tony, is really slim to none. Because, you know, what's that 10% rule? If you see one thing, the likelihood of there being at least 10 more are really, really high. At least when you start dealing with abuse issues, they're really endemic many, many times.
Well, especially when you have, I mean, obviously the attraction point with the public is there's 16 kids. They probably wouldn't be talking about this as if there was 2, 3, 4, or 5, because it wouldn't get the attention that it does because this stuff is so rampant. That being said, how much of this being allowed to exist is more so societal around them, and this doesn't stand out necessarily in that environment as being all that odd. I mean, to the rest of the world, we're like, oh my God, you go over to that county, it's the most impoverished county in the area, little to no resources for anything. This is kind of a way of life, as much as people like to pretend it's not. But it is, maybe not quite to this degree, but pretty damn close, just with fewer children. And society, you know, seems to be okay with that until we, you know, get the pictures and, oh my goodness. This is going on everywhere. I mean, I've said before, I know where to look. I know where I could go in my town. I could probably find it pretty quickly in almost any town. And I could find 10 of these homes, maybe not with 16 kids, but with 2 or 3 living in pretty much the same conditions that everybody drives by every day and nothing is ever done about it with CPS and everything. We as a society seem to be okay with this because it's somebody else's problem.
So as I do when ideas pop in my head when we're covering cases like this, I just did a research. I just took a look at, I just said, how many of these cases are annual that have this kind of a neglect and abuse, maybe not this number of kids, because that's what you said, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, there were 559,000 unique victims of abuse and neglect, with neglect affecting hundreds of thousands of children annually because of this kind of neglect.
Yeah.
559,000.
Yeah.
Near fatal and near fatal neglect kills 1,800 to 2,000 children annually from this kind of level of neglect.
What Elizabeth here? That's the woman who had the children, married off at 15, pregnant earlier too. Then estranged from her family for 15 years. I find that an interesting term to say estranged at that age. Her brother says she was indoctrinated. What does that kind of isolation do to a person's ability to recognize what's going on around them, Siobhan?
It completely alters the perception of reality. And so when people are raised in isolation like that, when they're living, let's say, with some trauma and have every aspect of their lives controlled and restricted, they begin to accept their fate. It just becomes normal. They become very passive and adjust to this dominant culture of this deprivation and abuse that they're living with. They learn to accept it, and they don't perceive that they have any agency or any way to escape. I mean, was she shackled and handcuffed in there? Apparently not. But mm-hmm. she felt like a prisoner, and that was her perception of the world.
You know, one of the things that saved you and saves people in, I wouldn't call this a cult, but it's a very cult-like, you know, situation here where there's control of this, you know, whether it's imposed physically or psychologically, and, you know, someone leading this family dynamic. But one of the things that gets people out of it is that critical thinking element that all of a sudden mm-hmm. something sparks it. Mm-hmm. At this point, is it even possible because of the, in other words, at what point does that ability to critical think, even introduced to it, get flushed out, or is it always a possibility, and what could actually ignite it again?
I think for Elizabeth, she probably was very much experiencing the passivity that would go with being a prisoner of war for decades and decades and decades. And she was not an adult when she went into this situation. So she didn't come in being much of a critical thinker just because she was a little girl. Right. And her odds for recovery, I like to think that she can improve, that she can do better. And I don't know what's going to end up, you know, legally in her future as far as prison or jail time, but that may feel like the healthiest life she's ever had, even if it's behind bars. She may have more autonomy there than she had living in this situation.
Can you imagine that the people that you're going to potentially, granted, doesn't know, who knows where, if, again, innocent until proven guilty, if she winds up serving time, you know, the type of people she'll serve time with, but even the potential that the people you serve time with are healthier than the people you've lived with your entire life? Oh, my God.
It actually would be probably the best thing in some, because it's somewhat of a protective environment, you know, it, to a certain extent, where other mutant-like folks can't, you know, necessarily weave into their world unchecked. There's at least some checking that goes in behind bars, and maybe actually will be a good thing. I mean, obviously, rehabilitation is not the most common thing behind bars, but anything outside of this environment, I might qualify as somewhat better than what mm-hmm. was. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to break down this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.